Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ken Klaus, speaker of the Lutheran Hour many years ago, told a story of a Christian baroness who was living in the highlands of Nairobi, Kenya. While she was there, she hired a young national to be her houseboy. After 3 months, the young man asked the baroness for a letter of reference. He wanted to go and work for a friendly sheik who lived some miles away. The baroness, being unwilling to lose her servant, offered to increase his pay. When the lad shared that he wasn't leaving because of money, this was sort of an experiment that he had run in his life. He had decided that he needed to pick a side, to either become Christian or to become Muslim, and he wasn't sure which one he was going to do, so he decided to take jobs on both sides. That's what had brought him into the employ of the baroness in the first place. He wanted to see how Christians lived, sort of behind the scenes. And now that he'd seen that, he wanted to switch sides and go see how the other side would live. And after that, he would make his decision. Now, it's awfully sad that the young man didn't make his decision based upon the sacred text of each of these traditions. He wasn't going to look at his sin, to see that God had offered through his son, Jesus Christ, to take away those sins. He was picking a faith system based completely and solely upon the basis of results, like a living advertisement, you might say. The baroness, realizing that she had failed as a living advertisement for her Lord, was embarrassed, and all she could say was, "Why didn't you tell me?" 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist comes as a living advertisement for Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And from John's birth until his death, he faithfully pointed the people to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It is a sad thing to say that more Christians don't realize and live this kind of life. We are living advertisements for the Lord God Almighty. Like little children look unto their parents for direction, unbelievers also look unto us for direction. They look unto us for discipleship and leadership. The unbelievers of the world, the seekers of the world, the searchers of the world are constantly looking for the merits of our Lord and then judging us by what Jesus might call the fruits of our faith. If we say all of the right things but do all of the wrong things, we might as well assume that Jesus has nothing to offer them. And they may ignore his call into eternal life. Knowing this, we must absolutely avoid the implications of a hypocritical lifestyle. Jesus notes, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," right? So no lying, no cheating, no stealing, no philandering, no carousing, no divorce. Or better yet, no abandonment. Sad to say, you can occasionally be abandoned. But above all, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You will not be perfect. But you can be above reproach. So repent. Remember the call of Isaiah. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain be brought low. The uneven ground become level and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And flesh shall see together, from the mouth of the Lord is spoken. Every valley filled in, every mountain leveled. It sounds scary, but I'm not really concerned about valleys or mountains. My hope is that you will not be flattened in the process. Our lives are not level. They are crooked oftentimes. We always get excited about the coming of Christmas, about the Messiah being born unto us, but the voices of the prophet often warn us about the coming of the Messiah. Who can endure his day, writes Micah? Who can stand it when he appears? He's like a refiner's fire, says Malachi chapter 3. Who can stand? I mean, really. Our words are often thoughtless, they're crass, they're negligent, our thoughts are greedy and selfish and lust-filled. We stand around indifferent unto the King of the universe. No obstacle is allowed to stand in the way of the coming of the Lord, the least of all you. John and Isaiah both cry out, prepare, prepare, prepare. The day of the Lord could be upon us tomorrow. It could be here any moment. And when the Lord comes, everybody that stands in his way is going to be bulldozed. Isaiah continues, the flesh is like grass, and its beauty like the flower of the field fades, and the grass withers and the flower fades, but the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade. Where's the comfort in that? Seems like a pretty hopeless statement, doesn't it? Helpless. Statement of desperation. We're like grass clippings. We've been mowed, we've been mulched, composted flowers, beautiful for a season, but then wilting and drooping and dead. It's a pretty pessimistic, don't you think? But it's accurate. It is accurate. Loss of hair, crow's feet, larger pant size. We feel ourselves fading already. I've got this catch in my hip, and every once in a while, if I'm walking the wrong way, it threatens to give out, and I have to catch myself. I'm like, oh, I've had it for 3 weeks now. I'm going to have to go see my orthopedist. I'm too young to have an orthopedist. It's not fair. But it's clearly not going to go away on itself. And worse, everything that we try to accomplish seems to be so futile. Right? We spend all of this time saving up for retirement, and then we lose the person in retirement that we wanted to spend all that time with. We think we've invested everything toward a loving, trusting relationship, and then your kids don't like you. They don't call, they don't write, they do the bare minimum. You get two things off of your Amazon list at Christmas. You do all the right things to save yourself or your future spouse. You wonder at length if anybody's ever going to actually show up. Spent $50,000 on a college degree, and then you get into work and you find out you hate it. What's worse is you hate it, but your boss also hates it. And if his life is going to be miserable, so is yours. The grass withers and the flower fades, and there's no comfort in that. But there is some comfort. There is some comfort in the fact that we know the words of the Lord to be true, that we are indeed helpless, that we do need to be comforted. And that comfort comes not from jobs, not from kids, not from spouses, not from 401ks, but from the voice of the Lord that endures forever. And if we try to base our happiness and our life and our salvation on anything else, it'll crumble out from beneath us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. The word of our God stands forever. The mouth of the word of the Lord, it stands forever. God's voice rings out strong and true, a voice that's clear and irresistible, the voice of promise, the voice of accomplishment. Hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus has come and lived and died upon the cross, risen from the grave. Our iniquity has been pardoned. Our sin has been forgiven. This was the message that John had been spreading throughout his entire ministry. If anybody were willing to listen to the words of John, this is what he said was about to happen. We may be aging, we may be fading, but Christ, in Christ, you have eternal life. You have eternal youth, and we may feel withered by the end of the day. Christ is there, refreshing, renewing us. We may think of our dreams and our plans and our families as coming to nothing, but Christ has a plan for us beyond our wildest dreams. And the voice of the Lord speaks these promises, and nothing can resist him. No obstacle can prevent him. There's confidence there. There's confidence there for a withered soul and for a faded spirit. Isaiah begins that call in his own gospel.
Comfort, comfort my people, says your Lord. Speak tenderly. We live amongst a people who yearn. They yearn for his message of hope. And there's more in this, especially in this season of high anxiety and pain. Christmas is rough. The public have been telling us this almost for 50 years now. The Christmas season is rough. We're haunted. We're haunted by ghosts of dead loved ones, of shattered dreams, of broken relationships, of a crippled economy. Long ago, the people of God faced a similar situation. In exile in Babylon, far from home, lives filled with sorrow, separated from God by their sin, separated from one another by their greed, and the outlook looked bleak. And yet God had other plans. His word would shatter their darkness, and we would hear that gospel in due season. Comfort, comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim that her day of hard service is done. Her day of hard service is complete. Your time of hard service has been complete, and your punishment I will bear. Come unto Bethlehem's humble manger. Come and see the work that I began at Christmas. I will finish that work. I will finish it. Even if it kills me. I'll bring comfort and redemption to my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim unto her, her hard surface is complete, that her sins have been paid for, and your wrongdoing, it has been paid for. And it was God who came unto our rescue that paid for that debt. Comfort, comfort my people, says, speak tenderly unto your congregation. Speak tenderly unto Grace Lutheran Church, for she has received from the hand of her Lord a double pardon for her sin. From where does our comfort come in this Christmas season? It comes from heaven above. As God sent his Son to be our Savior, our comfort comes through that same suffering servant who gives us as a ministry, as a ransom for all, comes the Lord God Almighty. Comfort comes for all who hear this word of forgiveness and this life that has been revealed through Jesus Christ's resurrection. Comfort unto each and every one of us in this time of celebration and difficulty. May God's blessing be upon us, everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.